New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Nick Bosa, George Kittle, and Charvarius Ward are the latest players in the 49ers injury report. Is there a chance that they could actually lose to the Rams this weekend? We'll discuss that and more next on Four Man Front. Good evening. Welcome to the Four Man Front. We're your hosts, Grant Cohn, Ryan G. Hensley, the coach, and Jesse Naylor. It's the only show on my channel or on our channels where there is a four-man panel, and we take turns arguing different sides of the same point because this is a college seminar. It's just a little bit elevated. How you guys doing?
Great. Fantastic, man.
Doing good, man.
Good. Okay, let's get right into it. Nick Bosa on the injury list with the rib. It was limited. George Kittle didn't practice. Hamstring tightness. Charvarius Ward didn't practice. Knee and hamstring soreness. On top of all the other injuries, I want each of you to make your best argument, even if you don't believe it, as to why the 49ers will go down to LA and lose this weekend. Jesse started off.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, Bosa, I think Bosa is going to play, first of all. It does sound like Kittle's out. You listen to the way that Brock Purdy talked. He talked about how excited he was for Jake Tongis and Saubert. So it does sound like Kittle's most likely going to miss. And if it is a hamstring, and Charvarius Ward also has a hamstring in knee, there's a good chance he might miss. So now all of a sudden, this game is a lot closer on paper from a talent standpoint. And when I look at this game, I mean, to me, games are won with quarterbacks and coaches. And although the 49ers have a very good quarterback and a very good coach, I believe the Rams, not only being the more desperate team at 0-2, not trying to go 0-3, and then also 0-2 in the division, but they have the better head coach and they have the better quarterback. So for me, that's always going to be my tiebreaker when I feel like teams are even. And then also, I understand that the 49er fans take over at SoFi, but the Rams have not played a home game all season. And being at home, you may not have the crowd in your favor necessarily, but just not having to travel, sleeping in your own bed, being able to get all the treatment you need throughout the week to feel good without having to worry about jumping on a plane. I think for all those reasons, the Rams will win this game. Even though I don't actually think they're going to win this game, the 49ers are going to win.
Well done. Well done. Coach, you're up.
Well, I actually had the Niners losing this game in my preseason prediction on coming into the season. I mean, one of the reasons why is because the Niners are going to go up against the only person that matters in this game, in my opinion, which is Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford is a very good quarterback who really has good days against the Niners. He airs the ball out. He seems to be able to pick up tempo. One of the things that we didn't see with Sam Darnold, that we necessarily didn't get a chance to see with Aaron Rodgers, is that Sam Darnold really took the top off the defense and aired the ball out. But also with what Aaron Donald showed in week one, I mean, not with Aaron Rodgers, what he showed in week one is that if you pick up the pace and you're able to hit your receivers in short to intermediate routes, you can really take advantage of what we've seen to be a little bit of a lesser athletic linebacker core with Demetrius Flanagan Fouls and Devondre Campbell. And now that's 2 weeks in a row where two quarterbacks have shown to be able to get some type of consistency off of what they give from their attributes. And now we face Matt Stafford in a quarterback where I feel like he possesses both. He possesses the power to be able to take the top off the defense, and he can play small ball against us. I think that's something that is going to be a really big issue with the Rams coming in, on top of the fact that, yeah, the Rams are going to be without Kevin Dotson at guard, but they got an offensive line that has been retooled, and they've been waiting to kind of have some continuity with the added running back of Blake Corum and with Kyron, what they have at running back as well as starters. I just think that the running game with the Niners is also going to be something that we're going to see in a third week in a row. The Jets let us off the hook. I said this right before we started the show. If the Jets would have used Braylon Allen along with Breece Hall, and they would have kept the penetrating run gap scheme against the Niners in the run game, which we saw early on, they were going to have success. And then when we saw what Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler did against us with Minnesota, we still have not solved the question of what we can do to stop the run. And I feel like the Rams can still do that even with the injuries that they have. I know that we're going to be paying attention to the offense, and the Rams really don't bring us much on defense. That's noted. I can't sit here and fake the funk. They're not that good on defense. But offensively, I think this is a time where if we don't have Treverius Ward and if we don't go into this game with Nick Bosa, the Rams can play keep away with us on offense, and that's how we would lose this game.
Do you actually think they're going to lose, or was that you just making the case that they're going to lose?
I think they're going to lose this one.
Oh,
interesting.
Okay. Well, yeah. Brian, that's unfair. That's unfair. I mean, you just got to take the side that you already think. That's just
a good job, too. I'm telling you, he was convicted about it.
You took all of my points. So I had to that's why I was stumbling over myself. I'm sitting here that's my point. That's my point. That's my point. So is what it is.
Ryan, you're up. Four reasons why the 49ers are going to lose this game. The vibes are off, first of all. The Madden curse, second of all. The Avengers are gone, third of all. And Jimmy G is on the Rams. Those are the four reasons. No, but in all seriousness, I don't think the Rams are going to win despite all the injuries. But if they do win, it's because of the injuries to the 49ers. Brock Purdy's playing with bunch of guys he's not used to playing with or used to winning with. You got George Kittle injured. Brandon Ayuk coming off of a prolonged or a non-existent offseason. You got an injured Debo Samuel, CMC injured. Trent Williams still working his way back. Or it's got to be that, or Kyle just loses his damn mind. Those are the only reasons I could expect the 49ers to lose this game. I fully expect them to win. But if I had to make an argument for it, that would be the reason.
Let me try real quick. It seems like when you look at the Rams, you write them off because, they're missing their two wide receivers, and they haven't been able to run the ball. They haven't really done anything well yet this year, anything. But they're getting some offensive linemen back, and they do have two good running backs. And so if they can run the ball, the Niners haven't shown that they're great at stopping it. They have a chance that at least they can be balanced with a good quarterback. And then on that's what the Niners are, right? Like, they have Jordan Mason, and they don't have a bunch of receivers, and they're going to try to do what they can through the air. So it's kind of evenly matched up. The Niners have a much better defense, clearly, but the Rams do have a pretty good pass rush, and sacks were an issue for the Niners offense last week. I could see this being a really low scoring game where both teams struggle to pass, and the team that gets to 19 wins. So funny things happen. The team with the better coach, like Jesse said, the team with the better coach and the better quarterback has a real puncher's chance if they can run the ball and play a little bit of defense. Not sure if the Rams can play a little bit of defense, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, here's the thing. If this is a competition of who runs the ball better in this game, the Rams have two running backs and the Niners have one. So I don't know. It could be one of these grinded out games where the Rams are actually more equipped because the Niners are so banged up. If only they had Elijah Mitchell.
You're just going to exclude Isaac Grindel like that?
Oh, maybe he's figured it out in the last 4 days.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for humoring me on that one. I would like you guys to tell me now, and the good people now, why the Niners will beat the Rams despite so many people missing practice today. Ryan, you start.
All right. Because I fully expect them to win because they are a better team overall, even with these injuries. Even if you subtract the guys that are out injured, the 49ers roster is deeper, better. From a defensive standpoint, they got a better they got Trent Williams. They got Brandon Ayuk. They got Eric Sobert. Nah, I really expected them to win this game coming into it. The more, like, George Kittle not playing, that does bug me a little bit. Tarvarius Warren possibly not feeling well, that bugs me a little bit. But even with all of that considered, I just feel like they have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. And, yes, they're going to be missing some of those guys, but they are better and more well-equipped. And then if you look at the history of Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan in the regular season, Kyle Shanahan very much owns Sean McVay in the regular season. Not in the playoffs, but in the regular season. The 49er fans are going to be filling up SoFi Stadium, Levi South. It's like a home game. I think, Brandon, you called it the home dome down south. I fully expect the 49ers to win this game, even with the loss of all those guys.
Yeah. So if they're going to win, it's going to be because they stick to what they know, which is running the ball. This is a bad defense. They can't stop the run. And we have one of the most potent run offenses in the NFL right now. Kyle needs to double down on giving the ball to Jordan Mason and staying within the confines of the offense. We need to take advantage of what they've always had in horrible linebackers. And Tonjes is a good receiving tight end. I think if they play small against the Rams, we can take over time of possession and put the Rams in bad position on offense. Offensively, they don't have the receivers that can really take the top off of the defense, really be a problem for us. So what we need to do, I'd like for us to kind of turn up the aggression on defense. Don't let Matt Stafford sit back and pick us apart. Go after his ass. They only have that run game to really protect him. The pass game is only what we give them. I think that if the Niners start off with a strong run game, they stick to the script. And like I say, Grant, I agree with you. I think this is going to be a low scoring game, mm-hmm. but the Niners can take over with time of possession and sticking to the run game and win this game quite easily. But I just think that we're not going to do that. We're going to give them a lot of opportunities to beat us because we're going to go play action. We're going to try to get Brock ingratiated. Like, I don't see us sticking to the simple way of winning. We don't like winning easy. It's not our thing.
I think that, yeah, go ahead, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to add, that's what I was thinking about. But if one more reason why I think they're going to win, Brock Purdy has one touchdown on the season through two games. That's very low. And if the numbers return to the median, I expect him to throw multiple touchdowns in this game, at least two. That's another reason why I just tend to think Brock Purdy is going to snap back in this game, regardless of who he's throwing to. Sorry, Jesse, go ahead.
Yeah, you're fine. So when I look at the injuries, yes, the 49ers, let's assume, I think Bosa is going to play, like I said, but let's assume that Kittle and Tarvarius Ward are out. It does sound pretty devastating to be without CMC, be without Debo, be without Kittle, Tarvarius Ward, Dre Greenlaw, but they are getting Hufanga back. When you look at the Rams, though, they are the one team that is certainly more injured than the 49ers. They're missing their starting center. They're missing their starting left guard. They're missing their starting tight end. Both of their top receivers. They're also missing a starting cornerback and a starting safety. All right. So when you factor all those things in, the Rams actually are more beat up, believe it or not, than the San Francisco 49ers if Kittle and Tarvarius Ward are out. I believe also with that, the 49ers backups have proven to be a little bit better. We know we can trust Juwan Jennings. We know we can trust Jordan Mason. We know that we can trust some of these other players that are going to be filling in. So I don't think the Rams know that they can trust those young receivers. They've got a rookie receiver. They've got Tutu Atwell. And then they got a cast off that just happened to make their team. So ultimately, I think the 49ers still have more trust in the players that they have available. And when you look at styles make matchups, last week, the 49ers offense was under duress because they blitz the heck out of you, Minnesota does, and they tackle very, very well. The Rams don't do either of those things. They're one of the worst tackling teams in the NFL. And not only that, they don't show you anything special on defense. They're not going to confuse you. So what Brock Purdy thinks he's getting pre-snap is most likely what he's getting post-snap. And if you can get the ball on the edges a little bit, get some quick tunnel screens and things like that going, the Rams are an awful, awful tackling team. The 49ers still should be able to win this game.
It seems to me that because of the injuries, I don't know how you guys would approach it, but if you were a defensive coordinator for either team, I'm going single high eight in the box. Like, no disrespect to either quarterback, but I don't respect your receivers. And I'm more concerned about you beating me on the ground. So I'm putting eight in the box and trying to make you one-dimensional and see if whatever receivers you got can get open and make big plays. And it's like, if that's going to be the game, if the Rams are going to like do a good job against Jordan Mason, the Niners are going to actually do a good job against Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, then it's going to come down to rich receivers do better. And I mean, DeMarcus Robinson and Tutu Atwell and Colby Parkinson versus Brandon Ayuk, Jawan Jennings, and possibly Jacob Cowing. Like, that's a clear advantage for the 49ers. Now, The Niners have to keep Brock upright, and they didn't do that. He didn't do that very well last week. They didn't do that very well last week collectively. But I think Jawan Jennings is a hell of a player. Ayuk seems to be getting back to his form, and I think Cowan could be a difference maker. So just based on that one positional advantage, the Niners should be able to have more of an offense. And I, like you said, bringing Talanoa Hufanga back seems to be could really help their run defense.
Mm-hmm. We got to see what he is, though.
True. I feel like it's going to, I don't be rude, but I feel like it'd be hard for him to be worse than George Odom.
It would be.
Respect. That's real.
Nothing against George. It's just, he's a fill-in player and a special teams guy. Let's take some super chats and then do some sleeper picks and then get back to our round table. Joseph Ernberg says, trade BA and Purdy for Pickens and Russell. How about no? Nathan says, oh, no, you're not. Sorry about that. Keith says, 2020 injury vibe. This is almost eerie. Very similar. Nicholas says, just me or is Sorensen a terrible interview? Doesn't seem smart or like he really knows what he is doing. On the podium, he repeats coaching cliches. Mm. Quick thoughts?
I don't know. No, man, we got rid of the weakest link on the defense, Wilkes. We should be fine.
Unbelievable.
Wilkes had a lot of gravitas, and Sorensen carries himself like a first-timer. He seems nice, though. 4 MFOGs, fellas. Thank you very much. Dave Barclay says, it's the best show on the planet. Hashtag trade Kyle. Thank you.
The universe.
Herbie Holland says, 20 spot for the 4-man crew, best on YouTube and Niners coverage. Thank you, Herbie Holland.
Appreciate you.
Helperman123 says, let's be real, Kyle. Banana Hands has been showing up of late, and once he shows up, it's a wrap. We're going 1-2 again. It's going to be rocky season regardless, but Banana Hands in particular. Okay, before we get back to the show, I want to do some sleeper picks, and I want to let people know, if you don't see over my shoulder, I got the Ricky Pearsall jersey in the mail today. If you want that, use promo code CONE. I'm also giving away 2 tickets to the Cowboys. Oh, wait, hold on. Man, wait a second. I'm giving away 2 tickets to the Cowboys game week 8. If you want to be a part of that, let me know. Use promo code CONE. Boom, there it is. Okay. So this is how I'm going to do the picks this week. Each person makes 1 pick. And you got to explain your pick. And I tell you who you're picking on. So you just have to say more or less and why. So, Coach, Jordan Mason, 104 rushing and receiving yards from scrimmage, 104.5, more or less.
More.
Why?
I think they're going to lean into him more. They really have no choice with all of the injuries that they have piling up. And also, I think that we're watching Jordan Mason grow before our eyes. It's going to be week to week. He's going to show us more of what he's been doing over the summer. I think he's more of a receiving threat than people are giving him credit for. We saw a lot of that in the second game. And I think as far as running the ball is concerned, I mean, for what it's worth, the Vikings have a good run defense. They're stout. And the Jets are supposed to be a good run defense. We'll see how that bears out. But in both games, Jordan Mason was not only adequate, he was a weapon. So I think that he could more than perform against this defense, honestly. I don't see anything on their defense that would be able to stop Jordan Mason from having a big day.
I love it. He's gone over 104 in both games. Let's just check it real quick. You can see what he's done. Boom. No, he had 104 exactly last week. So interesting.
Don't they have just rushing? I mean, I feel like if you just go rushing, you should be safe.
Yeah. No, we're living life on the edge here.
All right. Why be safe?
Okay. Ryan, now that you wanted to talk. Yeah, you're ready. You're up. Brandon Ayuk, 70 and a half receiving yards.
Damn, 70 and a half.
Or I'll give you the choice. You can do 4.5 receptions. One of the two.
4.5 more. Yeah.
That seems like he has to have more than 4.5 catches, right? Yeah. With all these guys out?
Yep.
Fair enough. Moving on. Jesse. Juwan Jennings, 3.5 receptions. How about George Kittle? Can we just say no? No. Juwan Jennings, 3.5 receptions.
More. Debo's out. Yeah, Debo's out. And I just feel like they're going to be able to pass the ball. You're looking at a Rams team that Tre'Davious White's a shell of himself. He's cooked. And then their best corner is out for the year. So they should be able to do their thing in the passing game.
I want to do a lightning round real quick just because I like sleeper picks. Coach, use check, 16.5 receiving yards, more or less.
More. 16.5 receiving yards? 16.5
for use check.
60 or 16?
16.
More.
More.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Ryan. 22.5 receiving yards for Tutu Atwell.
More.
Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Not you, Jesse. 63.5 rushing yards for Kyren Williams.
More. They're going to have to stick to the ground game.
Okay, these are our picks. More for Mason, more for Ayuk, more for Jennings, more for Juszczyk, more for Atwell, more for Kyren Williams. I'm pretty
Didn't
sure
we fell into this right. yesterday. We fell into this yesterday where we did all more.
It's all right. We were feeling optimistic. Good. We're in a good mood. Those are the picks. If you want to make the picks and get the deposit match, use promo code Cone. You want signed Pierce Aldridge, use promo code Cone. You want 2 tickets to the Cowboys game week 8, use promo code Cone. Hopefully the Niners will still have a team by then. It's looking dicey. Okay. So we spent all like months breaking down the strengths and weaknesses of the team. Now we're week 3. It's a whole different freaking team. We got the B team coming in. They're limping in to SoFi Stadium, and so are the Rams. So given this current iteration, I love that word, iteration of the 49ers, what is their biggest strength right now? Jesse.
The biggest strength right now, and it's kind of crazy to say it without CMC, is Mason in this run game. It's super consistent. Right now, the 49ers are averaging 141 yards rushing per game. You realize that is the most that they've had since 2019 on average. So you know that you can count on Mason. And the other thing about Mason is he doesn't fumble the ball. He had like the one like quick fumble last week, but it was like he just dropped it and picked it right up. He doesn't fumble. So he's going to wear down a defense. You know you can rely on him to protect the football. And 141 yards per game is the most since 2019. If you would have told me that, I wouldn't have believed it, because the 49ers have always relied on the run. They've had CMC now for a full season last year and then a partial season the year before. They've had multiple good running backs at a time. It's a big number, man. So I got to go with Mason in this run game.
The offensive line, man, I've been pleasantly surprised. I was critical of the offensive line all offseason, partly because I'm an offensive line guy myself. We don't prioritize it innately with picks necessarily or money outside of Trent Williams. And coming off of one of the most tackle-rich or offensive line-rich drafts that we saw this entire offseason in the last 20 years, I thought we missed an opportunity. I really did. And right now, I'm here to say that I got egg on my face, man. Like, Dominic Pooney is exactly what they needed. It elevates everybody. I got to be honest. And we can sit back and look, have revisionist history and say, well, we could have had the tackle. We could have traded BA and not been held hostage by Trent and all of that. That's cool. But for what I know, I can't just die on my take. I have to apply what I've done and what I know about football. And man, we ran the ball 28 times in week one. 37 times in total as a team, right? We are leaning on this offensive line. Trent Williams did not have an offseason at all. I don't care how much working out he said he did. He was clearly out of shape the first game, came in, got an IV, came back and got some more. I mean, you can't say enough about what Dominic Pooney is doing. I mean, as a pass protector, especially in the run game, I mean, he gives our offensive line some bite. Before, it used to be Trent. Trent's getting a little older. We just have to rely on the skill set that he has. But as far as just a young dog that we needed to be able to be nasty on the offensive line, man, Dominic Pooney has been, my God, he's been everything that we've needed. We're balanced. We can run the ball on the right side now. I mean, that's been something that we haven't been able to say for years on this team. The offensive line has been able to keep Brock Purdy relatively clean, almost to the point where now when we see Brock taking on sacks or getting pressured, we automatically attribute it to the offensive line, and that's normal. But if you go back and watch the film, man, a lot of those sacks, Brock was getting sacked running out of the bounds instead of getting rid of the ball, running out of three-man rushed pockets where we had perfect time to get rid of the ball, throwing the ball, not throwing the ball to certain receivers who were wide open, running outside of the pocket, getting tackled behind the line of scrimmage, which resulted in a sack. But for what it's worth, this offensive line has been the most consistent unit that we've had. There's no unit that hasn't been leaned on more to win other than the offensive line. And I got to be honest, there wasn't a unit that was under more scrutiny than the offensive line over the offseason. And they've responded. I would say that the strength of this team right now is the O-line.
My turn?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The strength of this team is the most highly ranked player in the entire NFL on PFF right now, which is Fred Warner. Mm-hmm. Fred Warner might be the DPOY of the year if he continues at this trajectory. I mean, the guy has, what, 2 forced fumbles, an interception. He's up there. I think he's leading the team in tackles as well. He's leading from a leadership standpoint. I mean, I got to say, Fred, he's basically alone as a linebacker. They're basically running a one-man linebacker scheme, it feels like, out there at times. And Fred Warner's just holding it down for the entire team. Despite some of the problems they've had on defense, Fred Warner's been a bright spot. He literally saved them 14 points in that last game. They still lost, but that game could have been a lot worse. Could have been 14 points higher for the Vikings. So I got to go with Fred Warner as the strength of this team right now.
I like that. I was going to go with Fred Warner too. And my little angle with Fred is that, like, we've seen players on the Niners really turn it up when they want to get a new contract. And there's not that many players like that on the team right now. Fred's one of those guys. Yeah. Because next year, his cap number is going to go up to like $29 million. He's got no guaranteed money left. And he's going to be like a prime candidate for that Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey restructure. So he's making the case for it right now. I agree. But I think one more thing, like, just the overall depth of the roster. Niners have 5 starters out, Rams have 7. But like, if you follow the Niners, you understand that like Jacob Cowing is a potential impact player that no one really knows about. Like, just like Jordan Mason was a couple weeks ago, and he bursts on the scene. It's like, who is – they still have guys like this. And I don't think the Rams do. I don't think Colby Parkinson is going to randomly go for 100 yards and a touchdown this weekend, where Jacob Cowing absolutely could. Juwan Jennings absolutely freaking could. So the depth of the team. I'd have to.
Can I talk about one thing else about Fred?
Nope.
If you look at the contract, Fred Warner is the second highest paid linebacker in the NFL, and he's probably the only high paid 49er that's actually matching his contract.
Yeah. Agree. Salute to Fred. All right, let's go the other side. What is the 49ers' biggest weakness right now? We used to think it was the offensive line. What is it now? Coach, why don't you start us off? You always get to go in the middle. You got to start now, leading off.
All right.
I got to go with the linebacking core. Devondre Campbell, Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, they're all over the place, man. Especially, and what it is that they don't share the same deficiencies. I would say that Demetrius Flanagan Fowles is better in pass in zone protection and pass protection than Devondre Campbell. And Devondre Campbell brings a little bit more in run game than Demetrius Flanagan Fowles. So they're a little imbalanced, but really, Devondre Campbell is just not fast, and he's not quick. And he knows it, and he tries to leverage himself in space to be able to stay on top of receivers and not get ran by. But, I mean, space is space and speed is speed, man. And when those boys get at the top of their routes and run past him, there's nothing he can really do. Quarterbacks notice it right away. On top of it is that even in the run game, Devondre Campbell, he's kind of as a torpedo. Like, he'll shoot the gap, but he misses a lot of tackles, a lot. You see him flying by a lot of gas.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
And also, he doesn't disengage from offensive linemen, man. Like, when he gets, linemen come out on the second level on Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, rather, that is, not Devondre Campbell, but on Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, I mean, it's really like the cut-up clips of watching what Trent does to DBs coming out on the edge. It's just, there's no resistance whatsoever. And I feel like a lot of their play has been covered up by the greatness of Fred, right? Because Fred has been doing so well. But it's not because Fred is doing so well because he just, it's because he has to. Quite frankly, they're not playing well. They're leaving a lot of holes and gaps on the defense, and especially when teams start running north and south on us. That's when you're going to start seeing the problems with Demetrius Flanagan Fowles and Devondre Campbell. I think that really give the kid a shot. D Winners, man, put him in, man. At least we'll have him growing and having time on task. But right now, the weakness right now is Demetrius Flanagan Fowles and Devondre Campbell.
Go ahead, Ryan. I've got two of them, so
go.
I don't want to take anybody's thunder.
The the biggest weakness on the 49ers is Jake Brendel. Answer me this question. It's a riddle, if you will. Who has the lowest PFF score of all centers in the NFL right now? The lowest. It's Jake Brendel.
Wow.
He is doing awful. He's getting bullied and pushed around by everybody, including Javon Kinlaw, which is...
Yeah.
So it's got to be Jake Brendel, man. Like, I thought I spent the whole, you know, really I was focused in on Colton McKivitz in the right tackle spot, but Colton McKivitz is doing a hell of a lot better than Jake Brendel is at this moment in time. He is has the worst PFF score of all centers in the NFL.
He was a Pro Bowler, Ryan. How dare you?
It's not good. It's not good.
It's not good.
I don't
know. His PFF score right now is 59.8. That's doesn't seem great.
I don't talk about him. It's so negative. It's so negative. But he's a problem. I don't know. He's got naked pictures of somebody. I don't know how he's on this team. I don't know.
Yeah, Chris Forster, ride or die. Yeah. Jesse, you got two people. Two things.
I've got two things. Number one is the red zone touchdown percentage for the San Francisco 49ers. They've done a great job of moving the ball, but they have not done a great job of actually scoring touchdowns. Right now, they're at 44.44% touchdown percentage when they make it to the red zone. That is their worst since 2018. That is worse than it was in 2020 with all the injuries that they had. Last year, for context, they were number one in the league at 68%. So right now, they're 24% less than what they were last year. You probably can attribute a lot of that to Christian McCaffrey not being there, but now Debo's also out, who's your other touchdown getter. So somebody or multiple people are going to have to step up. And then number two is the rushing defense. The 49ers right now are giving up 5 yards per attempt. That is the worst in the Shanahan era. That is worse than 2017. That is worse than 2018. And that is worse than 2020, believe it or not, by a pretty wide margin. So run defense and red zone touchdown percentage. They cannot score touchdowns when they get down there.
Those are good ones. I want to give the offense some grace because there's so many injuries and they didn't practice together very much this offseason, and it takes offenses a few weeks anyway. And this is kind of like preseason for them, and defense is usually ahead of offenses. So I'm trying to, I wouldn't be surprised if this offense kicks butt in like a month or two.
But I know where you're going.
Defense, I am like severely concerned about. I don't know about this defense. And like, let's start with the defensive line. Supposed to be the strength of this team. What does it do well? Does it stop the run well? I don't know about that. Is Leonard Floyd good at stopping the run? Is Malik Collins, Javon, is Nick Bosa good at stopping the run? I don't know. And then, I mean, I know Bosa had a couple of sacks, but like down in and down out, does the other quarterback seem pressured? Sam Darnold seemed like he was eating a sandwich. How many teams feel comfortable calling that long developing play action shot play from the end zone? I mean, if you had any respect for the 49ers defensive line, you don't call that play. But Darnold had time to fake the handoff, turn around, hitch up a couple of times, and throw as far as he could. Like, where the hell is the pass? So I think it has a domino effect on everything. The run defense is affected by this. The third down defense, which is statistically awful, like 59% conversion rate they're giving up right now. Where's the pressure? They pay a lot of money for that, and I don't think Leonard Floyd has made his impact yet, but it's not about Leonard. It's about Bosa. He's supposed to be the Hall of Fame guy on this team, and right now it's like, this is so Fred Warner's defense, and Fred's doing all he can, but that D-line is really underperforming. Is it the weakness of the team right now? Ooh. Kinda. I mean, if it's worse than the offensive line, what does that say?
You know who we're giving bail to right now, who's really should be getting looked at, is the receivers.
Yeah.
They're getting away with murder right now.
Speak on it.
I mean, they're not getting open. That's one. Debo,
they're not doing their one job.
Yeah, they're not catching the ball. They're not. They don't seem to be really the strength of the team. And to be honest with you, we really don't ask much of them. We're the lowest. We throw the least in the NFL amongst all 32 teams. Right? They have the smallest job to do if you really look at it as far as like what output is concerned. Brendan Ayuk's got to step up. It's time. You know, it's been 2 weeks. I'm sorry. You know, hey, maybe if you would have signed for $28 million, we'd give you 4 weeks, but you didn't. It's been 2 weeks. You make $30 million a year. It's time for Brandon Ayuk to have a coming out party. Whatever you got to do, get in the sauna, eat clean, pop a couple of pills, whatever you got to do. Against the Rams, we need to see like some type of resemblance of Brandon Ayuk.
And it's not enough to like get on, like get open a few times and put that on film. Like you have to produce.
Well,
you have to produce.
Also,
and if you're not getting the ball, say something, man.
Well,
don't
let me
complain
ask you this question.
After the fact. This is your time.
Let me ask you guys this question. Like, why do you guys think that Kyle targets Debo so much? Like, it seems as though that he starts every game with force feeding Debo the ball. Is it just me? Or do we all get over Kyle not giving Debo the ball before we start actually running the offense?
He's living in the past, and he's basing it on his relationship with Debo, in my opinion. I think that's what it is. He still thinks he has Debo from, 20 whatever. I mean, he's not the same guy, and Kyle's obsessed with him. I've been saying that. It seems like he's obsessed with him over and over again. He's forcing him. Like, one thing I learned about was these separation statistics to come out, that's only based on when they are targeted. And so Debo's getting targeted when he has zero separation. That's not his route separation. That's when he's getting targeted. And so that's hurting Brock Purdy, right? Brock Purdy has to force it in these tight windows. So it would pay off for Brock and for Kyle if they looked elsewhere and used Debo a little bit more sparingly as a weapon instead of just the main priority target in this offense.
Yeah,
I want to say something.
Oh, go ahead,
real quick. Going back to the defensive line comment you made, you realize that Aiden Hutchinson has more sacks than the 49ers.
That's pretty.
He has five and a half, and the 49ers have five.
Yeah. I mean, is Malik Collins really helping right now? Is Javon Hargrave earning his contract? Is any player on the Niners defensive line earning his contract right now? They're all highly paid.
Two things on that, if I could. First thing is, I think the 49ers are going to get sacks this weekend. That Rams offensive line is horrible. They should, I would imagine. And then just to clarify with Jake Brendel, he's actually ranked 34th. So I was talking about his pass blocking rate, right? 29.5 is his pass blocking rate. He's 34th.
There's only 32 starting centers. So.
Motherfucker's 40.
Helperman 123 says, let's be real. Kyle Banahans has been shown. Oh, we got you. All Day Every Day. Kim says, all those guys Niners may miss and still have a great chance of winning. Furthermore, supports Gronk's point. Yes, this team is loaded and should be dominating. Ricky Williams says, if I'm being honest, screw it. Get the youth in there. The Rams are limping in as well, and it is a division game. I get it, but if there's any time to rest early and get healthy, it's this two-game stretch. Maybe the Niners are thinking the same thing. Cameron Ezel says, time to start Tanner Mordecai. Took the words right out of my mouth. Tommy Huxley says, bench Brendel bum immediately. He is toilet. Dave Barclay says, do you root for Sala? I find myself hoping he does well.
I
would like him to do well. I don't know if I root for him. Sure. I mean, like, was I rooting for him on week one? No. Dave Barclay says, are they 44.444% with four TDs?
It's all the fours.
Brother Bob says, whoa, now I'm late, like Jesse always is. Dave Barclay says, facts, Brother Bob, Debo sucks, but we have guys. Okay, last topic. So we haven't talked about Brock this entire show. He didn't have his best game last week. It was going against a really good defense in a really loud freaking stadium. I was there. It's incredibly loud. Now he's got a home game in L.A., and he has even less talent around him, but he's going against a defense that's done nothing well this season. What are your expectations for Brock in this game? Let's go Jesse first.
My expectations have nothing to do with statistics. I mean, statistics are one thing, but anybody with eyes can watch the first 2 weeks of the season. And statistically, Brock Purdy played way better in game two. But the reality of the situation is he played way better in game one. If you watch the game, he was a much better player in game one. And why was he a better player? Well, he played within himself. He played calm, collective, went through his reads, and was mobile in the pocket when he had to be, didn't make a ton of mistakes, and just kept drives going. In week two, I think we saw something from Brock that I don't know that I've seen. I mean, maybe you guys can point out a game. We can talk about the Ravens game as bad as it was with four interceptions. But even in that game, he continued to battle. This was the first time that I've seen Brock drop back and stand flat-footed in the pocket multiple times throughout the course of a game. He's always pitching up, going from progression to progression to progression, and then taking off and running, trying to protect himself. This was the first time that I felt like he was actually flummoxed in his whole career. So for me, I just want to see him get back to being what we've seen before. I want him to be calm, cool, collected, go through his progressions, keep his feet moving, be agile when he needs to. I don't care about the stats. Protect the football. That's the only stat I care about. And the rest of it, it's for the birds. I don't care how many yards, how many touchdowns, none of that matters. Just be who you've been up to this point, because last week, that wasn't it.
Coach. I expect him to have a better game, more of what he did in week one than he did in week two. I think me and Jesse went over the numbers a while back with what he did in week two. Really, if you look at the 2-minute drive that we had, he was 8 for 8 for about, what, 60 plus yards?
57
yards. So if you look at, if you take that drive out, he kind of had a pedestrian day. One thing that I feel like Brock's strength is seeing the field, right? Processing and letting the ball go. It seemed like Brock was foregoing a lot of easier routes to try to get bigger routes, to try to get the team going. And just to piggyback off of what Jesse said, he does need to be where his feet are. He needs to play within himself. Give what the offense is, take what the defense is giving him, be able to pass the ball out on time, give confidence. And every play doesn't have to be a play that wins the game. I think that Brock is pressing. I think that he really does want to be the leader, but he's not going to do it by changing what he's been doing thus far. He's got to go back to what he's been doing, especially how he started off in week one. I think that he will bounce back against a defense that, quite frankly, isn't really good. The linebacking core is really weak. The defensive line, they don't necessarily have a pass rush. So even if he doesn't, really get the ball out that quick. One thing that I'm looking for Brock to add in that we haven't seen thus far in the season is running the ball. Brock needs to start scrambling more. There's a lot. We need to start adding that threat back into our offense. We are a running football team, and part of that running football team is letting defenses know that they have to play 11 on 11, right? Brock will take off. And I think that he did a really good job of that last year. Being especially in the playoffs, man, like when there were times where he couldn't get the ball out and receivers weren't necessarily getting open from man-to-man coverage, Brock was making us right with his legs. I think we need a little bit more of that. It adds an extra element. And one thing that him scrambling the ball actually does that I've noticed, and I don't think Kyle likes to admit it, but it calms Kyle down. It makes the defense more honest, and it gives Kyle the ability to start calling things for more people to get involved. That way, Kyle gets a little bit more ingratiated with the offense, where some of the stuff that he likes to do with all of the shifting and trying to get the defense to play against their rules, that stuff plays in part when defenses have to worry about Brock taking off. So scrambling is the biggest thing that I'm going to be looking for Brock to be able to calm himself down and to give the offense and Kyle more confidence.
Ryan.
Yeah, I think he's going to get back to the mean for Brock Purdy. Like I talked about earlier, I mean, one touchdown pass on the season, I don't see that continuing long. Now, touchdown passes in general are down throughout the NFL, so that has to be factored in. But I imagine he's going to throw for a couple. He's going to settle down and take what is there, as opposed to how he's been playing, which is kind of just forcing everything into the middle intermediate when there's easier plays to be had on the dump off. I'd like to see him take a couple shots deep, because I believe he's only gone past 20 yards 6 times, if I'm right, past 25 once. So I'd like to see him spread the field, take a couple shots downfield, make the defense respect it, but then also hit your dump offs when they're available and they're open. I feel like he's just kind of pushing things, forcing things a little bit. Maybe he's feeling the pressure of, you know, contract season, the weight on his shoulders, and he might feel it a little bit now with all of these guys out in this upcoming game. But really what he needs to do is get back to just taking what is there. Don't be afraid to dink and dunk. That's the NFL now, right? Don't be afraid to just take the easy dump off. And I think he'll do it. I really do.
You know, it's interesting. Kyler absolutely torched his defense last week along with Marvin Harrison Jr. But the week before that, Jared Goff didn't do great against the Rams. He was 18-28, 217 yards, touchdown pick, 85 quarterback rating. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be tough for Brock. On the one hand, he's faced this scheme before. He knows the Rams. It's not like the Vikings where it's this weird thing that he doesn't face very often, and it's tough. This is he's diced this up before. Yeah, he won't have his weapons, so I think it's hard to expect him to throw for 300 yards or to put up 30 points. So I think what his job is going to be is to not turn the ball over. Like, don't force things because you don't have to. You're still the more talented team, and you do not force things. If you got to scramble, if you got to throw it away, that's fine. But two turnovers last week, that can't happen. Your job is to manage the game this week because that's all it's going to take to win it. And that's basically going to be Matthew Stafford's job too. There's not enough talent for you to take chances all over the field. He took too many chances last week, and if he keeps playing like this, he's going to turn into Jimmy Garoppolo. He was a guy in the past that would throw three touchdowns to every turnover he would commit. Now, those three touchdowns aren't probably out there in this game because so many guys are hurt, so he can't lose the game on his own. That's my expectation for Brock. He was loose with the football last week. He won't be this week. That's my expectation.
I have expectations for Kyle, though, as well. I have expectations for Kyle. I mean, when you see that your quarterback is coming off of a game like that, you've got a young player. You got to get him in rhythm. So it's your job to do so. You've got to make things easy to start the game. Give him a couple easy completions. Let him get his confidence going. Then you can get him mobile in the pocket. You can move the launch point for him, get him out on the edges, give him some easy high-low reads, and let him work back in. Then you can also establish the run game and mix in play action. You can make the game a lot easier for your young quarterback. I know that we look at Brock, we're like, oh my gosh, he's so mature beyond his age, and he is. And he wins with his mind, and he has. But right now, he's coming off of a game where he's looked different than he ever has. He's still a young player. People have to realize this. He's not a finished product. Kyle Shanahan can help Brock Purdy this week, and he needs to.
Do you have an expectation for Kyle? What did you want to say? I thought having a bonus topic is like expectations for Kyle this week would be kind of cool.
Oh, I was going to piggyback on what Jesse was saying. You know how you do that? You run the ball.
Sure.
You don't start the first drive with three passes in a row and go three and out. That's what you don't do. Right. That's something that, you know, I feel as though that, like what you said, Jesse, Brock is still young. Right. And I feel like if you're Kyle, you've got to understand that, hey, it's imperative that not only do we win these games early in the season, but we got to start these games really well. And this can't be about what I see schematically. There's got to be some type of feel and context to how I'm calling these plays. And what we do well right off the bat by just snapping the ball is running the ball. We run the ball very well. And I feel like that's what Kyle needs to start with right away. Not what offense are we, what defense are we going against? What are the best plays? Who are the weakest players? What can we scheme up for the best shot plays? No, we need to go identity first. Okay. And we need to get everybody settled in. And then we need to start building out on top of what the game gives us in that context. I feel like coming in with pre-made scripts that Kyle is very accustomed to doing, where it takes about three drives before we finally get a groove into what we want to do, I think that that's going to lose us a lot of games this season. We don't have the defense to save us, to just keep giving us the ball back in years past. Like, that's going to hurt us this year, the way we start games.
Brian, you got some expectations for Kyle in this game?
Just run the ball more. Like, I'm confused about this team a little bit. Like, this year so far, Brock Purdy is 12th in attempts. Last year, what was he, 28th? I don't know if they're trying to change their identity, but it's not the right thing to do with this team. They need to be running the ball with Jordan Mason. He should easily be getting 100 yards in this game. That Rams defense is horrible. So that's just really my expectation for Kyle Shanahan, is to stick with what we know works. And then that's just going to make life easier for Brock Purdy off play action. I'd love to see some bootleg for Brock Purdy and get him outside the pocket a little bit, make it a little easier for him.
I was going to say. Hold on, it's my turn.
Yeah.
They need to move the pocket. Six sacks. I mean, yeah, that's on Brock, but that's also an opportunity for the coach to help Brock. Like, the offensive line isn't great. You're not great in the pocket. You could use a little help. So, like, roll left, roll right. I mean, and play action. I mean, you have to find ways to do that. You can't just have a bunch of reasons why that's not an option anymore. because Brock's not going to play that well if the offense is shotgun, standstill, drop back throw. He's not going to play that. He's not Peyton Manning. He's not Tom Brady. He needs some play action just like Baker Mayfield does, just like Derek Carr does, like every freaking one does. So I don't want to hear any more excuses about why that's not an option. Like, that's the offense. That's the passing game, play action, and moving him. He's so good at throwing, rolling to the left in particular. He's not a great stationary thrower. And that's not even the game anymore. Get him out of the freaking pocket.
Agreed.
Also, I feel like it's gonna happen. We've seen it in years past. We need to figure out who running back two is now. Mm-hmm. We can't wait on when Christian's going to come back or what he's going to be once we get him back. Even when we get him back, a tendonitis in your Achilles and your calf is something that's going to have to be managed anyway. So we have to understand that no matter how healthy Christian ever gets during the season, he's never going to be fully healthy until he really takes an offseason to get that thing handled. So we need to find a number two back. They need to figure out what they have in Isaac Guerrero now. Because I'm telling you, by week 8, we're going to be wearing the tires on Jordan Mason. We already saw what happened to Elijah Mitchell. All right? So yeah. We might as well just do it now. Find out who running back two is.
Can't assume that Christian McCaffrey's coming back.
Right. Can I ask you guys, I want to, like, what your opinion is on Isaac Guerrero? Because the coach brings up a good point. But Isaac Guerrero didn't read the hole correctly last week. Do you think Kyle's done? Mm-hmm. Do you think he's like, nah, I'm good? Or do you think he'll give Isaac Guerrero another chance?
Well, maybe that's why I prefaced it that way. You can't use the old way you used to do it, where if a guy you got to have a longer leash. Mm-hmm. You don't have the luxury of yanking the guy, right? Because if you do, Jordan Mason is not going to make it through the season at the clip that we're running him on. We said this about Christian last year, and they did it, and look at where we are. Come on.
You think he will, or do you think he'll go Patrick Taylor this week?
I think he might go Patrick Taylor and embarrass himself. And we're all going to sit here and have to wonder, why are we watching this journeyman that you picked up for $1 million try to be at number two running back? Why are you doing this? They need to figure out what Isaac Guerrero is. They got to give him a longer leash. They have to figure out a skill set for him that puts him on the field, if anything, to spell Jordan Mason, if anything. But they have to figure out a way how to use him.
You can't trade up for Isaac Guerrero and not use him. I'm sorry.
I mean, you can't use him if he's not good. He looked awful on that play, and then they benched him. So
it was a play. You know what I mean? That's the problem. This is the difference between Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid. You ready for this? Who was the last really good running back for the Chiefs before they made this last run? Hunt.
Kareem Hunt.
You know, Kareem Hunt fumbled, and it was returned for a touchdown, the very first play he had in the NFL. Do you know that Kareem Hunt also broke the rookie rushing record that same game for a first game for a rookie? You know why? Because his coach believed in him. He didn't care that he fumbled and gave up a touchdown the first play. He fed him and made him work through it.
Well, there's another reason that he did that. He's good.
Well, that's true, but how do you know what Guerrero is or is not until you give him a chance? Let me traded up for him.
I hated that pick.
Hold on. But when we say that Isaac Guerrero isn't good off of one play,
I didn't say he wasn't good. They said he wasn't good.
All right, that's cool. But if we see that Isaac Guerrero is not the goods after one play in the NFL, then that's on Kyle.
Yes,
that's
it
not
is.
On the kid.
No, and, it's on and, Ryan. It's Ryan's
like,
fault.
How bad can he be where you traded up to go get him? If you're a genius,
they traded up for Joe Williams. I mean, he's just in the next line of guys that they really liked, and then decided, you know what? Actually, I was dead wrong. Trey Sermon. This is a tradition on the 49ers. Nah. It's like
TDP.
Yeah, I mean, it's what they do. They trade up for a running back. They like him. They give him one chance. They're like, oh, we were wrong. You're done. And then they just laugh about it. And then they drink cocoa, and they watch reruns of Family Matters.
Well, Jordan Mason is going to have a tough year, man.
We should have Frank Gore Jr. on this team right now.
It's going to be a tough year.
Where's Frank Gore Jr.? We should have Frank Gore Sr. on it, too. Brother Bob says, going to meet late second sports Sunday, Iggy. Yeah, cool. Cameron Ezell says, it's Ezell, like from Friday. I know. Ezell. Dave Barclay says, oh, yeah, trade Kyle trash, garbage, refuse, litter on Oakland roads. Wow. Joseph Ernberg says, could the flat foot play be from hiding an injury?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
All can we, Purdy, can you stay healthy? No one wants to watch Brandon Allen play football this year. No offense.
No.
All Niners says, I watched the presser with Brock and I can't help but admire the way he answers critical questions. You can tell he has no ego. Unlike Kyle. I agree. Like if you ask Kyle, like, hey, you know, like your offense wasn't that great, or you may not have called play so well. Like his whole attitude is like, what do you mean by that? Whereas Brock, it's like, hey Brock, so, you know, you really didn't play your best this week. He's like, yeah, you're right. I noticed that. And I'm totally upfront with that. I like that about
it. But I also want to say this about him. He is critical and he's very honest. He doesn't need you to protect him. Like the fan base got so up in a roar. Like, what do you mean the sacks were on Brock? I mean, his O-line and the separation. And it's like, they just tried to like search for every reason when the film told you that Brock wasn't seeing the field. And guess what? Brock himself said he wasn't seeing the field well. So there you go.
It's because he's still on his rookie deal. They treat him like he's a child. But as soon as he gets, look at Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk was like the cult hero of the fan base. Now he's paid and they're like, where's the production? And that's how it's going to be for Brock pretty soon. Dave, you're right, but Jay York won't boot Kyle Levy. So Dave says, brother Bob, Jed and Kyle both have no sports equipment. Brother Bob says defense caused 3 turnovers, but Kyle Levy pooped the bed again. They're just talking to each other through the super chats. Helperman says, Kyle, play action and stop using 7-step dropbacks. That means we're getting more. We should next time. Let's do a segment where we just use reverse psychology on Kyle the whole time. Gold House says Spags had 20th ranked defense and kept him. Andy kept him. Mm-hmm. Andy's been working with Spags since like I was in middle school. I mean, Spagnuolo was on that staff on the Eagles. John Harbaugh was on that staff on the Eagles. Ron Rivera was on that staff on the Eagles. Andy Reid's coaching trees a lot of defensive guys. And that's neither here nor there. This has been the 4-man front. Thank you very much for watching. Make sure to enter the giveaway for the Ricky Pearsall jersey and the Cowboys week 8 tickets by using promo code Cone on the Sleeper app. Make sure you follow Ryan's channel and subscribe to it. Subscribe to Jesse's channel, subscribe to the coach's channel and mine, and like the stream and make sure you watch next week. It'll be on Ryan's channel. Thanks for watching, everyone. And go enjoy the game. Wait, hold on. Joshua Edwards says Kyle arguing tradition with Garendo like he's Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof reference. We got a Fiddler on the Roof reference right at the end.
I like
thank
that,
goodness.
Josh.
Wow, Josh.
Do you love me? Do I love... Sorry. Anyway, I like Broadway musicals. What can I say? Especially if there's Jews in them. Thanks for watching, everyone. Hey, Mark, this is, I want a segment of three guys reaction to Supers.
Just three. One of us has to go.
Just reacting. That should be a show. Reacting to Super Chats.
Oh yeah, that's a hell of a show.
Great show. Let's do that on my channel next week.
Yeah. This is the time where you pay me. Thanks very much, everyone, for watching. I'll be back tomorrow.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.